Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning and good afternoon and good evening. Welcome to the circle of listening to the book, where we're gathered around listening to the book called The Degree of the Woman in the Religion of Islam, where we're currently on page 46, this being the ninth recording. This chapter is a shorter chapter as the last one was, and will be done in one reading. It's the chapter, there's just a couple more chapters before CD starts getting into the stories of the women themselves in the lineage, starting with Rabia. It's a couple more chapters. This particular chapter is called Women are the Shaqa'iq, which we'll find out what that is. Well, maybe it's the sisters or twin halves of men. Sisters or twin halves of men is the name of the chapter. So we'll begin with the Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Rahman Rahim Maliki Yawm Adin Iyak Nabudu Wa Iyak Nasta'in Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim Sirat Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim Ghayri Al-Maghdubi Alayhim Wa the beloved Allah, we gather around in a circle around our beloved guide to take in the deep teaching for the deep walking, to taste and eat the food of the spirit that he carries, of all the prophets in Islam. Help us to walk this way of Allah and help us to come into a deeper understanding. Amin. The women are the the sisters or twin halves of men. Page 46. The Prophet's behavior or attitude toward his wife was characterized by lofty ethics because the wife is a queen. The wife is a queen in her house. She is glorious in her house. She has the position of queen, and a man must be a servant to her. He must treat her with politeness and gentleness and complete love. Look at how the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, spoke to his companions when they came back from a trip. He advised them, "Do not go to your wife for intimate relations as a beast." It's from Hadith. "You must be decent and polite and gentle, and do not yell at her like a donkey in a loud voice. This is not permissible. You must talk to her with politeness because she is a human being. She has her own humanity." The Prophet said, "Women are twin halves of men." Mahadith. "So she is equal to you. You are not better than her in any way, and you are not higher or greater than her in any way." Allah says in the Quran, "And so their Lord responded to their supplication, saying, I will not permit the work of any worker from you to be lost, male or female. Each of you is the issue of the other." Quran 3:195. "This is true whether you are male or female, God will treat you equally." How did the prophet behave with his wife and daughters? When he wanted to visit either one of his daughters or his wife, he would send someone to receive permission for him and to let them know that he was coming. He would ask, "May I visit? May I come?" And he only came if they gave permission, otherwise he would not go. Also, when he went to his own house, he would first knock on the door. He would say, "Are you ready for me to visit?" This is the truth. And this is the real way it should be, because although it is a house, she is the queen of that house and she is the one who is managing the affairs of that house. She cares about the house. And many makes the house dirty and then leave. He must never do that. This is not Islam. If a man comes to his wife and he has received permission, he knocks on the door and waits to see if she permits him to enter. Whether it was his daughter or his wife, the first thing the Prophet used to say was, "Peace be upon you, beloved, precious one." He then went inside his house, greeting them by kissing their foreheads, and he would ask them to supplicate Allah on his behalf. And then he would ask, "How are you doing? How was your day? What happened?" He would feel happy when they were happy and sad when they were sad. And later when he visited his wives, he would say, "Peace be upon you, O most precious ones, beautiful ones, beloveds." These are the loftiest ethics of Islam, and this is the message for those who believe. This is the behavior of the Muslim husband with his wife, because the wife is a queen and the husband must serve her. He must work and fulfill her needs, and she must rest at home. According to Islam, she can go to work, but she does not have to. He must support the house. He has to pay for what she needs, but that does not mean that he prevents her from working. Her husband says, "It is your choice whether you want to go out to work or not, but I will continue to support you." He does not say, "All right, give me half of what you earn, or you must pay this much for the house." These are not Islamic ethics, and this is not the divine structure of the family. It is shaitanic. It is from Iblis. In this case, the woman works as the man, but like a machine. Day and night, they both work, and she works and puts her money into the house. Is this from the religion? Is this respecting women? Is this how women take their rights in your society? Where is your right? Your right is to work hard and then come home to work more at the house. Is she not a human being that needs support and respect? Allah and His Holy Quran give her complete rights and give her a right estimation and value and honor her. I worked as a judge for 36 years and I used to have a stick beside me. When a man violated the rights of his wife, I would not wait for the police to come. I would beat him myself. I would say, "What are you doing? She is a human being. Why do you treat her like that? You are a criminal, a monster. Why do you treat her that way?" He cannot speak, and I say, "I will put you in jail for 15 days. This was a right which the law gave me. And when I called the police, they would give him more. So as a judge, I would put him in jail for 15 days, and sometimes the wife would come, and she would be so kind, and she'd say, "Sidi, Sidi, please, please do not put him in jail because of my children." And I would say, "But he did what he did, and he was not polite to you, was he? He was impolite. He must take his share." And she would say, "But Sidi, Sidi, you have already beat him. That is enough. And I would say, no, it's not enough. He must learn his lesson really well. This is Allah's rule. This is the judgment of Allah. We must not allow him to abuse her or beat her or harm her. She is not an animal, and you do not even treat an animal like that. The woman is something very holy in our religion, in our way. She is a very holy creature from her feet up to her head. She is holy and she has complete rights. In our religion, we do not allow a woman to be used as something to be sold and bought. And we do not allow her to be on the streets on her own so that monsters may take advantage of her. True freedom is to preserve the humanity of this beautiful creature, the woman. The woman needs support. When she's 13 years old, she needs more than when she was 3 years old. She always needs support. Why? Because she is growing beautiful, and monsters on the street would like to take advantage of her and use her for their own pleasure. In the time of our grandparents, it was different. Look at your own families. Long ago, at the time of your grandparents, the family structure was different. The freedom of today is barbaric freedom. It's not true freedom, it's false freedom. We want to return to our roots, to the law of the divine, to the heavenly teachings that command us to preserve woman and respect her humanity. In that way, she keeps herself pure until she finds a husband that can support her and respect her and provide for her. And this is the message of Islam, the way of Islam. This is the message of Muhammad, but also the message of Moses and Jesus, alayhim as-salam. It is the message of all the prophets. It's the Jewish message. In Judaism, the woman is considered a jewel, and also in the teachings of Jesus, the woman is a jewel. But Western ideology has been corrupted and is ruled by those who want to take advantage of people, use them, and benefit from them. They give people sweet words and poison, and they try to benefit from them and take advantage of them by selling them the idea of false freedom. But in our way, the woman is precious. The wife is precious, and love must be mutual between a husband and wife. I am speaking metaphorically. In reality, the woman in herself is a mirror, because in Arabic, the word imrah means woman. This word in Arabic shares the same root with mirah, the word for mirror. This is a clear sign that she is a divine mirror. And the man is also a divine mirror in which the woman can see herself. This divine mirror must never be broken. Is it permissible for you to break a divine mirror? It is not permissible. That means that both of you must have mutual understanding and share love and stop fighting and competing. Because the message of Allah is founded upon love. It is founded upon love and peace and justice and mercy. And if you do not have mercy for your beloved, who will have mercy for her? And if the woman does not have mercy for the one she loves, her beloved husband, who else can give him that? This is our religion and our way and what we recommend to people. We, the people of the straight path, care very much about the relationship of man and woman, and we put it in the right perspective, in the right way, so that they may be happy and their children may be happy as well. Their children are raised in a noble household with generous parents, full of peace and love, and the children grow up full of love. Is this not so? This is the message of Allah and we must take care to actualize this message and to apply it. Any young woman must keep herself pure and protect herself and not allow her body to be hurt by the monsters of the street who want to take advantage of her and throw her away. She must be patient until she finds someone who truly loves her and will provide for her. She should not give herself to someone for a couple of months because then he leaves and goes to another. Our way is a noble life, and she must live this noble life and feel true love and be the beloved, and this is our way. I have one daughter and five sons, but I love my daughter more than I love all of my sons. If she asks for my eyes, I will give her my eyes. If she wants my hand, I will give her my hand. I love her deeply. And I have never spoken a harsh word to her that will hurt her, not only with her, but also with her mother before she passed away. I never spoke a harsh word to her. She was sick for 30 years, and I never asked her, why did you do this? Why did you not do that? I was never harsh with her. We must keep hearts whole, because the one who breaks a heart, Allah will break his heart. Allah says, I am with those whose hearts are broken for my sake. There is no veil between the broken heart of a woman and Allah. If she says, O Allah, please help me, He will immediately destroy the one who broke her heart, because Allah answers the pain of the oppressed. We must then be conscious of Allah while we are dealing with our children and while we are dealing with ourselves and our husbands and wives. We must treat our children in a godly way, and we must care for their feelings and treat them so that they can preserve the divine essence in themselves as Allah wants it to be preserved. Does any one of you not have a mother? I am sure every one of you had a mother and may have a sister or a wife or an aunt. And we are speaking about the divine family, the godly family, which we want to preserve and care about. We want you to know about the type of family that is full of love and justice and equality. This is the original principle and foundation of our creed, our belief. Our message is of peace and love and justice and mercy and freedom, and we must actualize and prove ourselves true. We must never listen to arrogance, fighting, or to the lower self, and we must be as Allah wants us to be. This is the message that I want to send to every heart. It brings us to page 50 in the end of this chapter. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.